It is 12:37. You are listening to the Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. And Eric Roper expresses himself in the Star Tribune on a regular basis. He works there just like I do. He writes stories, but it's his latest piece and podcast that has everybody in town talking. And if you know Eric and you have been close to him, you know that he has been talking your ear off about this upcoming project. And I am glad that it is finally here so we can get the whole deal and the total scoop. He's spilling the tea on the people who were in his house before him. And honey, there is tea to be spilled. He's joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Hey, Eric, welcome to the Shaletta Show.
Hi, Shaletta. How are you? Thank you for that introduction.
I am good, my friend. Now, I have to say there is a conflict of interest going on right here because you are married to my brother, Tane Danger. So I consider you pretty much a brother-in-law.
Yeah, I mean, you're both on Almanac. Tane is great.
Tane is amazing, and I am so glad that he has you in his life to take care of him, to love on him. You guys are beautiful together, and I'm so honored to be friends with the two of you. And I can't remember where we were the last time we were in the same room together, but you were talking about, oh, it was when Michelle Norris was at Westminster Town Hall when Tane was in charge over there, and he was kind enough to invite me to be a part of the program, and I got to stand next to her, my idol, and you were like, Shaletta, so Tane and I bought this house and the people who live there, and we found out all this information, and I've been digging and I've been looking, and oh my God. And you start telling me all these amazing stories, and you was like, I'm gonna do a series on it, and I'm gonna do a podcast, and I'm gonna tell everybody about it, and now it's here and you get to tell everybody about it.
I know, I'm so excited. It's been nearly 5 years working on this, so it's going to be the biggest thing I'll do in my career, and I've been with the Star Tribune for 15 years, or at least the biggest thing up until now. This is the biggest thing I've done.
Okay, so you got to tell us all about it. You moved into a new house. What part of town was it?
So I live in Kingfield, which is in southwest Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. We moved in, Tane and I moved into the house in March 2020, so we all sort of remember what was going on then. We're about to sort of get locked in our homes during the pandemic. And I, you know, I already write about local history. That was, you know, I run Curious Minnesota for the Star Tribune, and you know, so I'm already interested in that. So I started looking into the history of the house and actually discovered a map that had been produced by an organization called Mapping Prejudice, and it was about this wave of a small wave of black families who had lived in southwest Minneapolis in the early 20th century. And this is today the whitest part of Minneapolis. And all these families were eventually gone. And one of those families lived in my house, the Robinson family, Harry and Clementine Robinson. And I don't know, I just became literally obsessed, you know. I mean, I as the more I found about them, the more I kind of went down this rabbit hole, it was really strange. I said, well, this is really interesting, and that's really interesting. And it took me 3 years to even realize that I felt like I had enough here, that there was really a story to be told. And then I told my editors about it. And then one of my editors said, could this be a podcast? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. Making it into a podcast was a much more complicated endeavor than maybe we even anticipated. And then about a year and a half ago, Melissa Townsend, who is a was a former she's an audio producer around town. She was formerly with Minnesota Public Radio. She came in as the audio producer on the project and really sort of made it what it became. I mean, this was really a joint effort between Melissa and I, and I think that really comes across when you listen to it. So it's been quite a journey. I don't know if I'm getting into all the details you were wanting to know about, but that's kind of the general background of the research process, at least.
Okay, so this is what I want to know. How did you even find out about this? I mean, did you hit a wall? You know, were you guys doing some construction and you found a bottle and there was a note in it? I mean, give us a scoop, because we see these kinds of things on movies, and like people are doing construction and they try to break down a wall and all of a sudden they find a treasure trove of pictures and, you know, a safe with $1 million in it. How did that work?
I would love to find, I mean, we have found things in the house, particularly flyers, which is a little unusual. Typically, you find newspapers, but I've actually found a number of flyers from 1915, 1929, and 1935, which are now hanging in the house. But that's sort of irrelevant to the project itself. But, you know, starting from discovering this thing, because I was Googling my address and finding this map, I realized, like, okay, so our house plays an interesting role. Typically, when people are talking about some of these housing discrimination issues, they're talking about, you know, the covenant that's on their house or something like that, you know, or redlining or other things. In the case of our house, you know, it was clear, like, okay, actually, this is where a black family did live. And so there's an interesting history here to understand, like, who were the people and where did they end up and what does it sort of teach us about the history of the city? And the deeper I got into that, it became clear to me that there was sort of there was a history to this part of Minneapolis as far as housing and race.
Mm-hmm.
That
yes.
was, to my eyes, it wasn't well known to me. We've sort of been going back and forth on whether to say that this is like, you know, how well known history is. All I know is it was fairly new to me. A lot of the information that I was learning, particularly around things that happened really right here in my neighborhood, which you'll mm-hmm. hear on the podcast. You know, that sort of gets an entry point. And the Robinson, you know, the podcast is about the Robinsons' lives and walking through sort of time from the 1880s to the 1960s through their eyes. But then also they are really a window into Minneapolis and the black experience in Minneapolis in the early 20th century. And so the people in their orbit, the social gatherings that they're having and the people that they're hanging out with are some of the most prominent people of the era. So it was really interesting to sort of, this was a throughway to learn about all sorts of pieces of history in Minneapolis.
Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, I want you to tell us about this family. I want you to tell us about this podcast, because I find it so interesting that you got all this history. And, you know, you could have just sat around with Tane and roasted some s'mores and y'all talked about it and went on about your business. But I want to know what compelled you to not just tell the story in an article, but to put the series together and to do a podcast about it. More with my brother-in-law, Eric Roper, when we come back. It is 12:50, and we are reminiscing about a family that we would all not be talking about today had it not been for Star Tribune reporter Eric Roper. His journey to uncover the history of a black couple who owned his Minneapolis home back in 1917 is giving us a lesson on black history in the month of January. Go to startribune.com. About the middle of the page, you can see the information about his limited series podcast and get a preview of it. It's available on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music. He is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, continuing our story about this couple. Now, tell us about them, Eric.
So Harry and Clementine Robinson, Harry was actually born in southern Indiana. And so we went to Indiana and went to the area where he's from. And there's historians there who, some of those historians actually knew about him, which is, you'll understand when you hear the podcast why mm-hmm. they knew about him. And then Clementine is from a rural part of Missouri north of Kansas City. And we also went there, and then we have some new connections down there. And I've actually been down there twice. And, you know, they came here to Minnesota around 1908. And this is sort of, you know, when we think of the Great Migration, this is really an early, early wave of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people mm-hmm. wouldn't even put it into the official Great Migration, that timeline. It depends right. who you talk to. But, you know, they're very early coming to the city and, you know, putting down roots. And I think one thing that was surprising to me as I looked into this is, I mean, you know, Harry, despite a lot of his accomplishments early in life, you know, he really cannot get employed. I mean, you know, he ends up being employed as a waiter because that's one of the only jobs that would hire a black person in that period. And some that was, I mean, you know, we don't talk a lot about that. I mean, we didn't have sort of official Jim Crow laws here in Minnesota, but there was widespread discrimination in employment and housing and other areas that have sort of been, you know, maybe not as remembered. And these were some of the things that became clearer to me as we walked through the Robinsons' lives. But they ended up in my house. Clementine was she was a massage therapist who worked in hospitals and also in private practice. And, you know, literally the room I'm sitting in now, you know, I don't know. This is a 3-bedroom house and they never had kids. So I always wondered, well, maybe she, you know, maybe she took a point sometimes, like in this room. You know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell, but they were very accomplished people, and you sort of get a sense of that when you listen to the podcast. And I should say that the name of the podcast is Ghost of a Chance. And so, if your listeners out there listen to podcasts and they have podcast apps, pretty much on all the apps, if you look for Ghost of a Chance, you can subscribe now. It is not out yet. It'll be out on the 13th, but you can hear the trailer. So that's up now.
And, you know, I'm glad you're talking about this because this is new for a lot of people, but it ain't new for black folks who live in the Twin Cities. They actually call Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota Jim Crow of the North. And some of those issues that the Robinsons faced, black people are still facing today. Underemployment, redlining without, you know, saying that it's redlining, you know, unequal pay, and those things still plague us today. So a lot of times we still don't have a ghost of a chance to be as successful as our white counterparts because those systems and discriminations are still alive and well and walking around our fair city. Even today, I often brag, Eric, that I made $1 million for the past 2 years every year. And people say, oh, my God, that's amazing that you did that with your company. And I say, you know, let's not get excited about it, because as hard as I work, if I was a white man, I would have made $10 million. And so those systems that the Robinsons face, those restrictions, those systematic fundamental systems that have been in place to keep black and brown people from being as successful as we could be are still happening today. So I'm so glad that you are kicking off a precursor and a prequel to Black History Month with this. And now I really want to find out from you, Eric, you know, those people being in that house and you're telling this story after you've done your extensive research, you've gone to visit their family. You didn't just the towns where they live. You didn't just rely on, you know, microfilm and microfiche and, you know, just information that you got online or through phone calls. What was the thing that you found out that surprised you the most about this family?
The thing that surprised me the most, I mean, I think the thing that surprised me the most, which is, it's about the family, but tangentially, is sort of how intentional the effort was to keep black people out of Southwest Minneapolis, specifically. I mean, maybe I was just sort of naive about it, but when I dug into the history, and specifically, there was actually an incident 5 blocks from our home, attempting to sort of oust the roughly 9 black families from Southwest Minneapolis. It was a large protest meeting about this, very close to our home. And, that was not, I mean, I don't think that's well known history, and it was sort of very surprising to me. And I learned that at the beginning of the process. And it made me very interested in the Robinsons' lives and sort of like, you know, how they ended up here, where they ended up when they left this house. And then, you know, in looking into that, we learn about the history of what's now known as the Old South Side, which is a community that was formed to the east of here over across what is now 35W, that was sort of like the hub of the black middle class in Minneapolis. But I think the biggest surprise for me was learning about some of the history of a neighborhood that I really love. I mean, frankly, and it's, you know, it's tough to learn unpleasant details of the history of your own neighborhood. But that was probably the most surprising piece to me.
Well, I thank you for telling the truth, even though sometimes it hurts. And I appreciate you opening the eyes of the people who may not have known about this. Eric Roper with the Star Tribune, make sure you go out and subscribe to listen to Ghost of a Chance. You can listen to the trailer now. It is coming out later this month. Go to startribune.com to get a sneak preview. And you don't have to worry about a sneak preview because we're bringing you the whole next 2 hours of the Shaletta Show coming up.